There we go. Okay, tonight we're going to look at, yes it is. Tonight we're going to look at the creation of a house church, because we have come back to Sherry's house and we're in a house church now. And this is Acts chapter 16, 11 to 15. Then, setting sail from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis. Now, Neapolis, as it turns out, is the name of the little port that is about 20 miles from actual Philippi. And from there to Philippi, a Roman colony, which is a leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for a number of days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate by the river, where we thought there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your direction in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, a little background here to start. Philippi was named for Philip of Macedonia. Notice they're in Macedonia. And he was the father of Alexander the Great. It had been taken from the Greeks, and by this time it was owned by the Romans. Very few Jews were there, so there was no synagogue, because you need to have 10 men to have a synagogue. Back then, they were very much into men. That's why Jesus always tells you how many men there were at any given point. And you could think there's probably twice as many women and children out there. But at any rate. So instead, it's a place of prayer, which is what you have for the Jews if there is no synagogue. But this wasn't one of those, really. It was a place of prayer for Gentile believers. And these were people who had heard about God and began to worship him, but they don't have a synagogue to go to, and they're Gentiles, and they're women. Now, to become a member of the nation of Israel, you have to have the men in your family circumcised. And if the women don't have men getting circumcised, they are just kind of out there. They're, you know, but still, they're worshiping the Lord. So Paul goes out and finds Jews, but instead found Gentile women who were following the Lord God, Yahweh, as we call him. So Paul spoke the gospel to them. You know Paul. He, given a chance, he's going to tell people about God. Yeah. And the Spirit opened Lydia's heart. Now, Lydia was quite a wealthy lady. She was a dealer in purple. And there was this mollusk that I can't remember what it was called. I should have written that down. But there's this mollusk. And what it is it's got an ink sac, kind of like an octopus. And in that ink sac is this ink, which is bright purple, royal purple. And so what they would do is they would catch this thing and get it out of the water. And then when it shot out the ink, they would catch it. And they would use that to dye various cloths purple. And if you could do that, then the cloth became very valuable, because purple was something that it was hard to make. Yeah. You had to catch the right mollusk. You had to be in the right place and all that stuff. So apparently,
they crushed them.
What?
They actually crushed the mollusks.
Yeah.
Oh, crushed them.
So apparently she believed because she was immediately baptized. And so were her entire house. And when they talk about her house, it doesn't necessarily mean relatives. It's the people who worked there and were living in here and working for her. And so she asked to have Paul stay and preach at her house, which must have been fairly large to accommodate everybody that there was there and to accommodate the people who would now come. And, of course, these ladies, all of them, are now they're wanting to be a part of this because they wanted to follow Yahweh, and they've now found out that, guess what, Yahweh sent his promised Messiah. He's been here, and Paul told him all about him. So the Philippian church, strangely enough, I always mix this up between Philippian and Philippine, but when I was in Korea, I was a flight chief for a COP flight, and my death sergeant couldn't find Philippines in the dictionary. He would have to, because we would have stuff coming in and out from the Philippines. And so everything was Philippian instead of Philippines. But at any rate, the commander got a big kick out of this. The Philippian church actually formed from this house church after Paul left. It became one of the primary churches, though it was not one of the churches mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches. So we're thinking that it must have just been going right along, and God's thinking, hey, you know, I don't even need to say anything to these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got their stuff together. And it was financed, the church, once they got the church and its meeting out of her house in a big church. It was financed by Lydia because she had a fair amount of money and she gave a lot. But it actually started in her home. So, what is this for us? Everywhere is a target of the gospel. You're walking off somewhere and you're planning to go somewhere and all of a sudden you have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. You want to immediately do it, no matter what. Here was Paul. He's looking for Jews. Couldn't find a single one. He had a bunch of Gentile women. So he tells them about Jesus, and guess what? We have a revival. Everybody says revival. It's actually evangelism. But at any rate, even if the people we were looking for are not there, we tell the people who are there when we get there. We've had a lot of that. We started out to be a motorcycle church. That was our goal. For a long time, our sponsoring church referred to us as a motorcycle church. But one of the first things we discovered is there's a lot of people out there who just don't feel comfortable in church. And that is the heart of bikers. They're not comfortable in church. Even if people are nice to them. Even because they say, look at me, I'm different than the people here. So they're probably going to be uncomfortable around me. Strangely enough, it turns out that was actually true at one point. I went to church at the first church we were at, Olympic Baptist Church, and they were having the Harley Owners Group picnic that afternoon. And so I rode my motorcycle to church. I had my entire biker outfit on, full battle array. I walked in, and as I'm walking out, this sweet old lady said, I have always told everybody that if anybody walked in here all bikered out, that I wouldn't even blink. I'd just love on them. And you made me uncomfortable, and I know you. We're going to have to work on this. Well, that's the problem, is bikers, even if they can be comfortable, and once again, we were comfortable coming to church. Once we had started Eagle Wing, we would go to the morning, we would go to Rock of Hope Baptist Church in our full biker stuff. And the people quickly became, and the reason I did it was because I wanted people to become comfortable around somebody in biker gear, mm-hmm. in case we could start bringing in people. And people got comfortable and so on like that. But then somebody would come in who hadn't been there before, and they'd go, what is that? Where did you get these guys? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, that's the problem. Well, people who are bikers are uncomfortable going into an unfamiliar and very different environment. I've always told everybody that the original premise of Eagle Wing came from a guy we had, and he just passed away recently. We had a guy who was the leader of a group called Blue Soul Revival. And he said, come with me, I'm going to Harvey's. We always have the, right about this time, we have the open mic. And so I came over there with him, you know, I'll walk in, I'm all bikered out and everything, and he's telling everybody, that's a pastor, actually, by the way. And that made him a little uncomfortable, but at any rate, so I'm sitting there and I'm talking to people, and this one guy, I kept asking him, come to Eagle Wing. I said, you know, Bud comes to Eagle Wing, comes right over here after. You could do the same thing. Guy named Hans. And finally, he just decided he had had about enough of me, and he says, Walter, I love Jesus, but I hate churches. And I said, that breaks my heart, Hans. Why? And then he told me this story about how badly he had been treated at this church in Oregon. They didn't like his hair. They didn't like his clothes. They didn't like the fact that he's a musician. They didn't like a lot that he played in bars. And I said, well, over here is Bud Gilbert. He's got bigger, longer hair than you do. That's my elder. Okay? This is what I preach in, a motorcycle t-shirt and blue jeans. So you know I don't care about what your clothes are and so on like that. I said, and I'm not going to rag on you. I come over here to listen to you every Sunday night. There's no reason for you not to come. And then every time he'd have some concert or something, we'd go. And he told us, you're relentless. You just keep going. I said, Hans, I want you to come to church. And he kept telling me that he loved Jesus. And I said, okay, if that's true, then problem solved. But I'd really like you to come to church and get some fellowship. But at any rate, even if there's no church, you can still worship. Mm-hmm. I have, and I've told people, on a submarine, you find yourself at depths we can't even discuss on a Sunday morning, and everybody gets together and has church with nobody there who's a preacher. And I always told them, I said, well, I'm a licensed, now I'm ordained now. I got ordained from being pastor, actual pastor of church. But I said, I'm a licensed preacher. I'm as close as you're going to get to a pastor. If you want me to, I can run the services. And so, you know, we would pass it around and so on. But we were having church at so far down underwater that there's no way you're ever going to find us. Right? Now, because of the way that physics works, we could find skimmers. They couldn't find us. It's just, there's a thing having to do with the temperature of the water. But at any rate, we were down there. We were deeper than a lot of people. I tell people sometimes where I've been, and they get nervous because they're going, I wouldn't want to do that. I said, well, what it is if you're at test depth, which is supposedly the deepest you can go, and all of a sudden the depth gauge click, and you find out that you're 150 meters deeper than test depth, and that'll make your butt slam shut. And so, but at any rate, you know, I figure that's why I got on submarines. You know, if we go down, it's going to go woof, and it's like instantaneous. It wouldn't hurt a bit. Just be gone. And I figured, yep, that's the way to go if you got to go. Even if there's no church, you can still worship. The Spirit can open any heart. We have seen people that you would never think were going to come to the Lord, came to the Lord. You just sit here and you begin talking to them and they want to argue about it. And the next thing you know, they're in tears. Do you really believe that God would take me? I said, He took me. I said, you have no idea the mischief I got into in my misspent youth. But at any rate, when we give our possessions to God, He builds great things with it. And we're hoping that that's what's going to happen here. Sherry has shared her living room with us. And we're hoping that we're going to get so many people here, we can't be here because it's too many people. And then we'll have to go find something else. But we have to have a beginning. And when the church in Lowell began treating us badly, this is where we came in the first place. And then we went back and we tried. They still didn't really want to work with us. So here we are back. And it's like the Lord saying, see, I told you so. You should have stayed there in the first place. But the one thing is, we thank Sherry for being our Lydia. Because she heard the word of God and she said, come to my house. And when we couldn't stay where we were, she said, well, Sherry's church is still open. And it's like, okay, that's okay. That's, and Pat always says this, Sherry makes me think of Lydia. And I'm going, yep, she does. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Bring other people to us. Lord, we're not asking you to show us how to draw people in here. We're asking you to show us how to be a place you want to send people to. And if they start showing up, praise the Lord, we'll be here to welcome them. Go with us in all we do and help us to be good servants and good witnesses for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Bye.